Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Dope Black Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is that you're listening to this podcast. My name is Umar, also known as the Kank, and this is the Dope Black Dads Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by the number 38. So, 38, you ask, why 38, Umar? What is so special about the number 38? Well, that is the age I'm going to be in my next birthday in 2023, God willing. What else is significant about the number 38? Yes, that's right. The number of days the first ever Black Chancellor of the Exchequer lasted in his job. Now, today has been a mad one. First day of the half-term holidays for me, out with the kids and the missus, we went to Legoland. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying being in Legoland. I'm enjoying it being a very quiet day. Suddenly, my phone is going crazy. Lots of people messaging me. I'm just like, what's going on? I open the messages. Kwasi Kwarteng is about to be sacked. Huh? What do you mean? What are you talking about? I know that things have gone really badly for the economy and for the country since he became chancellor, but I didn't think in my wildest dreams that he would get sacked over it because, you know, who does get sacked these days? But lo and behold, within about half an hour of that message being, you know, me catching up with my messages on WhatsApp and Telegram, he was sacked. He resigned. Well, no, effectively, he was sacked. And I just, it's just been mad. You know, notwithstanding all of the memes that have been coming through, the jokes that have been cracked about him, I think it does paint a very sad story and a very sad indictment of where we are with politics, especially in being Black and British here in the UK. And I think for me, his sacking was actually a bit triggering because what we've had, if you remember, about 38 days ago when I recorded a podcast, to celebrate the fact that, yes, we have got Black people who are in prominent positions of state, offices of state. You know, Kwasi Kwarteng, the first Black Chancellor of the Exchequer, effectively, you know, the second most powerful role in the country behind being Prime Minister. James Cleverly, Foreign Secretary. Kemi Badenoch, International Trade Secretary. And, you know, people know how I feel when it comes to these things. And I know there's a lot of issue about some of their politics and who they are as individuals and what they have done or not done towards the Black community. But I felt it was important to kind of celebrate the fact that they have risen and elevated to those positions. Today, I'm looking at it and I'm feeling a great deal of sadness, but also a great deal of regret and also a bit of anger. And I'll tell you why. The sadness comes from the fact that as somebody who's a Black professional, I have experienced right from day one, you know, my parents effectively telling me, you have to work 10 times as hard to succeed as somebody, you know, a white person in this country. And the reason for that is because of the color of your skin. Now, I never really understood what that meant, but I always knew, okay, I just need to go that extra mile. Whatever it is that I do in my life, I just need to make sure I go that extra mile because that's apparently what my parents said you need to do. As I've gotten older and I've understood and I've been in institutions where, you know, sadly institutional racism has existed, I realized what they meant by that. Because the standard that you're judged as a Black person against a white person is very, very different. There are certain expectations that people have of you. There are certain preconceptions that people have of you as a Black person. you know, as a black man, especially for me being a black man who grew up in East London, there's a lot of preconceptions about, you know, did you have an absent father? Did you grow up in poverty? Were you involved with gang culture? You've been saved by, you know, leaving the ends, as it were. And that's, you know, for me, that was not my story. It sure as hell wasn't the story for Kwasi Kwarteng, as we all know. You know, he's an old Etonian. He did very well. You know, this is a person who knows economics, who knows everything to do with that, although that is very questionable given everything that's happened in the last few weeks here in this country. And the sadness comes from the fact that he has effectively been made scapegoat. You know, regardless of where you sit with how he is as a person, we could see, and when I say we, I mean people within the black community, people that I speak to regularly, that I'm involved in the various political groups on WhatsApp and Telegram, you know, even within the dope black community itself, we knew that they were just waiting. They were waiting for him to do something to get rid of him, waiting to scapegoat him, because that is the experience, that is the lived experience for a lot of black people who are professionals working in this country. We are judged by a very different standard. We could not behave in a mediocre way and get away with it. I'm a lawyer, as we know, and I have worked alongside people in the past who are highly mediocre. And I look to myself and I'm just thinking, how did you get in the position that you are in right now? And here I am toiling away, doing what I need to do to try and better myself. But yeah, I'm always being told that I'm not good enough, regardless, that I'm not good enough. And, you know, fundamentally, people aren't going to admit it, but yeah, your skin color does play a factor in this. And I think when you look at what's happened with Kwasi today, the sadness comes from the fact that, and the triggerness is the fact that we've seen this happen time and time again. Black men, black women, overlooked. Black men, black women, put in positions where you're almost certainly deemed to be made a scapegoat if you failed. He stood no chance with this. When he delivered that mini budget, that mini speech that he gave just a couple of weeks ago, he was finished. It was absolutely clear. When the markets tanked, when the Bank of England had to intervene, it was absolutely clear he was finished. I remember watching the Laura Koonsberg program on BBC One on a Sunday when Liz Truss was asked.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Basically by Laura Koonsberg, whether or not she supported the Chancellor, and she said nothing. And that silence spoke volumes. Straight away, and I remember texting this in one of my WhatsApp groups, straight away I said, she's thrown him under the bus. She's ready to ditch him. And this was only literally a few days after he made the speech that he made. And we could see that this trajectory was coming. I, as well as a lot of people, was surprised at the speed with which this has happened. You know, I was not expecting that he would be gone so quickly, but it has happened. And I think it does paint a lot of questions. So it's made it very, very clear that he was for the chop. And it's going to be a question of when, not if. Today was the when. And it's really sad. to see in one respect, in the respect of seeing a black man who was in that position that's suddenly been pilloried, all the blame has been laid on him, and suddenly he's out of office and he's gone. And I think there is something to be said. You know, I'm somebody who loves, obviously, you know, I love talking about politics, and I've studied politics and history. When you look back in history, you know, prime ministers don't tend to survive very long if they're having to sack their chancellors. I mean, I'll go back as far as the Thatcher years, because that's what I can kind of remember. But, you know, Margaret Thatcher, under her time, Sir Geoffrey Howe was prime minister in her first administration. Then you had Nigel Lawson, who's chancellor during her second and third administration until he resigned. Then John Major became chancellor. And then obviously her reign ended and John Major became chancellor. Then under him, he became prime minister, I should say. Under him, he only had two chancellors himself. So Norman Lamont, who served for just under 3 years, Kenneth Clark, who served for the remainder of the time until the Labour administration came into power in 1997. And then between 97 and 2007, we had Gordon Brown, who was chancellor. Him and Tony Blair were the mainstays. When Tony Blair went, Alistair Darling came in and became chancellor. And he was chancellor until Gordon Brown was ousted. And then George Osborne became chancellor under David Cameron. And then Philip Hammond under Theresa May. And then this is where it kind of goes a bit downhill, because under Boris Johnson, we've had, and I'm sure you've probably seen the memes, July was Rishi Sunak, August was Nadeem Zahawi, September was Kwasi Kwarteng, you know, crazy. And now October, Jeremy Hunt. So we've had four chancellors of the Exchequer in the last 4 months alone, which suggests there's a very big problem. But that's a podcast for another day. It's sad to see this. It's sad to kind of witness what has happened, but it's not surprising. And I think it kind of is a sharp reminder to us within the black community that, in a way, we always have to kind of keep on our toes a little bit. We need to ensure that what, you know, we are behaving in a beyond meticulous manner to ensure that, as it were, the shit doesn't hit the fan. You know, so, you know, if stuff happens, that effectively we know how to deal with it, and we're not made to be the scapegoats, as sadly it has been very much the case here with Kwasi Kwarteng. There is a wider discussion to be had about what's happening with the country generally, and again, as I said, that's a podcast for another day. But I just kind of wanted to jump on and just kind of express some thoughts and feelings about this, because I do think that, you know, it's shocking that this has happened. It's shocking that this has happened during Black History Month, of all months as well. It's shocking because I feel like we now have a situation where we're probably unlikely to see another Black Chancellor of the Exchequer for a long, long time, because this is now going to be used as the yardstick to say, we put a Black guy in the position before. He only lasted 38 days, second shortest serving Chancellor in history. He's only outdone by the fact that the first person died in office. And the other thing is, you know, as I've said as well, the Queen passing away meant that there was a 2-week period where government effectively wasn't really running anyway. So if that hadn't have happened, he probably would be the number one short in service Chancellor of the Exchequer of all time. So I think it just kind of brings all of these things into sharp focus, and kind of is a reminder that we can't get too comfortable. We can't get too complacent. No matter how much you might think you've assimilated in the situations and in the spaces that you're in, there is always, this is a reminder that the tide can turn at any point, and you always have to be on your guard. You always have to be having your wits about you, and you always need to make sure that you are doing everything you can to ensure that whatever it is you're doing in your profession, no one can turn around and put a black mark under your name and look at ways in which that they can throw you under the bus, which is effectively what has happened today with Kwasi Kwarteng. So that's my views on that. Obviously, as always, happy for you guys to drop comments on the podcast, on Instagram, on YouTube, wherever it is that you're catching this. But yeah, wishing you all a very pleasant rest of your day, whatever it is that you're up to. And I'll be back very soon with a hopefully a more positive and more uplifting podcast. Take care. Stay safe.
Dope Black Podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.